Pritchard lines it up. Knocks it down. Huge shot. Derek White. A bomb. A major clutch three from D. White. Way outside the arc. A 32-footer. Raptors will let the clock hit triple zeros. It's five in a row for the Celtics. And their climb up the Eastern Conference continues. The Seas are now third place in the standings with a 121-113 win.
High Noon, Jones and Keefe, WEEI. Every Wednesday at High Noon, we're talking Celtics with Justin Turpin of WEEI.com. We call it Pure Hoops with Turp. Turp, what's going on?
What's up, guys?
Team's rolling.
They are.
Team
Who would have thought we'd be sitting here in early December and they'd be 15-9 on pace to win 51 games?
So it's funny. Things have kind of leveled out a little bit.
Yeah, not us.
No, I didn't think that. But, you know, the Raptors for a little while were kind of hanging on to, like, the second-best record in the East. You're like, I don't know how long that's going to last. And that has helped by the Celtics. That has kind of fallen back into place. The Knicks have played better. So now when you look at the East, it goes Pistons, Knicks, Celtics, Magic. I'm still a little surprised the Cavs aren't in that mix, but overall, like, I think that's a little bit more what we anticipated the East to look like.
Yeah, and it's still a little too early to look into the standings and really take them for what it is right now. And Joe Mazzulla pointed that out after Sunday's win. He was like, well, it really means nothing. But that could be true. And right, it's not even December yet. Last year at this time, Orlando was the third team in the East, and it didn't really work out well for them in the long term.
No.
So, yeah, he is onto something. But how they've gotten there is what's impressive. And guys like Derek White and Peyton Pritchard really figuring out their roles. Jaylen Brown, we've been talking about it ad nauseum here. He's playing at an all-NBA level. The developments of the young guys, Jordan Walsh, Namish Keita, Josh Minot, like those guys showing up and stepping up. It's just, it feels like everything's clicking at the right time for this team, and it's made for quite an interesting run here.
Mm-hmm. So outside of the Thunder, who never lose, they've won 15 straight. They're 23-1.
Jeez.
Outside of OKC, the Celtics have the longest win streak in the NBA. They've won 5 straight. They've won 8 out of 10. They're 15-9. They're number 3 in the East. I don't think it's too early to look at the standings. We look at them every time you're in, and I think there's something to draw out of it. How high can they go? Like, they're number 3 right now. They're 2 games back of the Knicks. They're 4 games back of Detroit. They beat both those teams. They're a little in front of, not a ton of margin for error, Orlando, who they beat. Toronto, who they beat. They dropped 2 out of 3 to Philly, who's right behind them. They've taken 2 from Cleveland, who's the 7th seed. Like, how high can they go in the East?
I mean, you mentioned it. Like, you just mentioned a couple Eastern Conference teams there. They're 8-5 against the top 8 teams in the Eastern Conference, and they have a winning record against every one of those teams except for Philadelphia. And both of those games came down to the wire. In fact, they probably should have won the second one that they lost when Jordan Walsh
shut
down
Tyrese. They should have won opening night. They should have won the first game on opening night, too. Yeah.
So they should have won those games, and Philadelphia's starting to drop off a little bit. So just looking at the state of the Eastern Conference, like, there's really no team that they can't compete with, and that's more indicative of how bad the conference is. Like, the East is really, really bad. I mean, if you're looking at a postseason series, I'd probably take Detroit. I'd probably take Cleveland. I think Cleveland's going to start figuring it out. They're just too talented. We saw this team almost win 70 games last year. They're eventually going to figure it out. It's going to start clicking. Same with New York. But the problem is with New York, they can't win on the road. They literally cannot win on the road. So it's going to be interesting to see. But right now, I'd give them at least a shot against anybody. I'm not saying they're going to win the East because I think there are too many flaws still come the postseason. But
why would you take all those teams over them that you just listed? I think you had New York on there. You definitely had Cleveland and Detroit. Why would you take those teams, maybe not in the standings at the end of the year, but in a postseason matchup? Why?
Mainly because of the size. The Celtics are still very undersized, and this small ball lineup has worked great for them. But when you're looking at a postseason series, and we'll take Detroit, for example, like, we were talking about it when they played on that Wednesday, that Jalen Duren props. You were all over the rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, the small ball's been great.
Cashed.
In a small
I took 16
sample.
Plus, 16 hit.
As good as they have been, the Celtics have shot 40% from 3 over their last 8 games. And part of that is because guys like Jordan Walsh, Baylor Shireman, Josh Minot, they're shooting close to 40%. And that's great, and it's on a smaller sample size. But is that really sustainable, especially as we get closer to the playoffs? Like, I just don't really know. So there's still some areas of their game that they need to prove it. But right now, like, they can compete with anybody. It just doesn't mean I'd be picking them, per se.
So they play Milwaukee tomorrow. I know Giannis has been out. We all kind of wonder what,
they're a mess.
What's even the deal, though, with that injury?
He had a meeting yesterday to, like, discuss his future just with his teammates.
Yeah, so, no, they for sure are a mess.
He's having another meeting?
He had a meeting with the teammates to discuss his future. It was Chris Haynes reported it. Yeah, there wasn't a ton that came out.
So, like, that's out. And, like, they're great. Milwaukee's in wherever they are in the standings, way below the Celtics anyway. But where do you think Giannis could end up this year? And then how much would that change potentially the Eastern Conference?
I wonder now if like people are kind of hesitant to trade for him if he's dealing with this calf thing. Like, you just don't know how long it's going to be.
It's fake.
I think it's fake.
It's not a real injury.
He had something like that. I could see why, because he just kind of fell to the ground like the invisible sniper got him.
Earlier in the day, it came out that he was meeting with the team about his future in Milwaukee, and then later
this
that night, he has
lot.
Like a weird fake injury.
This happens a lot. There are guys. Really, I'm trying to think of the most recent example, but there was one like that I remember. I thought it was James Harden or somebody.
Sounds
it was
like something Harden would
do. Is he okay? And then he's like, oh, he's ready to go. He's starting.
I mean,
it happened in football too, I think, maybe with some of these moves.
I would have a hard time believing he gets moved in season. It's just with a trade of that caliber, it feels like that's something that happened in the offseason.
Which I think is what, as a Celtics fan, you would want.
You'd want that.
Because if he goes to New York, you're like, all right, they're probably already a little bit better than you, and now you're like, all right. Well, now
and I know people are going to draw back on the Luka Doncic trade, be like, oh, he just got traded. That's true. A top player in the league. That was really unprecedented.
And a fireable offense, as it turns out.
Fireable, right. Yep. And Nico going rogue there. Like, that was, no one really expected that. So I don't expect Giannis to get moved in season. And if he does, it feels like there has been a lot of, you know, smoke around the New York thing. Obviously, I don't have any reporting on this. He plays for Milwaukee, playing in New York, talking about New York. But, like, I saw one thing that there's, like, I don't know how true this is. This is something I saw on Twitter, that there's the only place in the country that you can get direct flight from Greece to the United States is New York.
So, like, Athens to New York City?
Yeah.
How about that?
And I guess that was kind of a draw. I don't know. But
easy.
I think there
it's
is
easy
some
to check.
There is some there is some smoke around there, but I just don't see him moving in the season here.
Yeah, all right, maybe not. And then that would mean, I mean, New York still, like, their roster. I don't love New York as far as, like, winning the whole thing, but as far as, like, keeping the Celtics at bay.
I think part of what's bringing New York down too is Karl Anthony Towns is not shooting the ball well. Mm. And I think he's going to eventually turn it around. It's not hyperbolic to say he's one of the best 3-point shooting bigs the league has ever seen.
Yeah,
shoots near 40% as a 7-footer.
He's
like,
nuts, yeah.
Eventually, once he starts getting his shot to fall, which he's proven he can, it's going to turn around a little bit for them. So I'm probably a little bit more high on New York than other people are right now, just because I like that talent that they have, especially with how open the Eastern Conference is. And it's funny, because people were talking about them finally having a bench this year, and you're looking at, it's like, Yabusele and Jordan Clarkson, who was probably like 50 years old at this point.
Yeah.
Like, they don't really have that bench. So
yeah.
I'm probably a little bit higher on New York than other people are, though.
All right.
Yeah, I'm trying.
What
to
do
find.
You got? You got any flights?
I'm trying to find some direct
to
flights
Athens?
Here. I'm still in the process of searching.
It's tough around the holiday season.
True.
When it comes to Tatum, he's playing one-on-one. He is. You put this on Instagram, I think, 2 days ago. He just put out
that
a video.
Was yesterday,
was it yesterday?
Yeah.
Soon.
Oh, that was 2 days ago. The video was yesterday.
So I'm saying.
Yeah.
So 2 days ago, he had the one that said soon. The video of him playing one-on-one was yesterday. What are we looking at with Tatum?
I mean, it's still. We talked about this before too. It was funny because in the weeks leading up to this, we were there and they'd kick us out before he'd do any kind of workouts or anything, and be like, he'd be putting him on Instagram and be like, wait, why can't we just watch it? In recent weeks, we've been able to actually see more of it, and we've been down there and he's been going through. Granted, it's nothing really crazy. Like, those more intensified workouts, he's kind of reserved for Instagram and wherever he's posting it. But there doesn't seem to be any limitations, at least from the brief videos that we see that he's sharing out, from what we've been able to see at practice. There just doesn't seem to be any limitations. And I'm sure there are different boxes that he needs to check before he's cleared and before we get to that point. Like, we don't know if he's doing any contact, right? We saw him going through the one-on-ones against assistant coaches, but we don't know what he's doing contact-wise. So it really remains unclear, and it's indefinite right now. But, you know, you have to be pretty pleased with what you've seen from what he's shared and what, you know, we've been able to see in practice.
So explain, and we talked to Drew Carter about this last week, and you helped us with
theory.
The conspiracy.
Yeah,
but just
good.
But explain it. Why are people circling 2-8, which would be a Sunday afternoon game nationally televised
Super
on
Bowl
ABC
Sunday too,
against the New York Knicks?
Is.
It's also Super Bowl Sunday. Yeah. How about that?
Ooh.
So what goes into the conspiracy theories where now, you know, in the dark Celtics web, people seem to think he's coming back on February 8th?
Yeah, much like Drew, I'm not one on the big conspiracy theories or whatnot. But from what I've gathered from this theory, and I haven't done a ton of digging into it because, again, I don't really believe in it. But from what I've gathered is that he's posting videos with the timestamp of 2 minutes and 8 seconds, which people are correlating to 2-8, which
so
they play.
All
the
of, I love it. All of the videos are 2:08.
That, apparently. I haven't gone back and fact checked this because, again, I think
works
it's garbage.
For me. I don't plan
I do
on it.
Works I do not
for
mind.
I'm taking you at face value. Yeah, okay.
But yes, that is the theory.
Is this on Instagram? Or is this on Twitter?
I think that's on Twitter. Maybe maybe Reddit. It's the dark web somewhere.
No, no, no. I mean, the videos he's posting.
Limit 2:08 for a video?
I think it's 2:20 for Twitter.
Oh, so
no, no, but he's verified. You can go all day.
Yeah, exactly. That's true.
Nice.
Yeah.
Not me. Not me. Nice. That's right. Yeah, I guess I could scroll through some of those. But no, that part's pretty interesting. So not trying to start anything, but what do you think Jaylen Brown's mindset is on a Tatum return? Because this was almost viewed as a year where it's like, all right, you're the guy. This is your team. We'll see how far you can take us. And after early seasons where they, you know, win a few, lose a few, they've gotten right at the ship wins-wise. He's been putting up crazy numbers, averaging like 30 points per game. The assists are up. The rebounds are there. If Jason Tatum comes back, and maybe it won't happen right away because he's coming back off an injury and everything else, but eventually he's going to have to sort of take, you know, move over to the passenger seat. How do you think he views a Tatum return?
I think what he's going through right now and having to be kind of the engine of the offense is only going to help him, because now he understands it. And now he's been put in that situation. Not saying he didn't before, but now he's been put in that situation where he understands kind of the pressure it takes and what needs to be done to like kind of read the floor. And this is a stat I came across yesterday. I was working on a piece, a sick brag, for WEI.com about the 20 numbers that define the season so far. And this is one that I found pretty interesting. If you had a guess, there's two players that are tied. Who has led the Celtics in assists the most this season? Who would you guess?
I would guess
White and Pritchard is who I would guess.
It's Derek White.
Derek White and Jaylen Brown.
And Jaylen Brown.
So the assist and the playmaking, especially as of late for Jaylen Brown, have been very impressive. And I think that only helps when Jason Tatum's back, because that's another guy that can create for others and use his gravity. So I think it's going to be a good thing when he comes back that he's been in this situation. And we've seen them both put up ridiculous numbers in the past. And I think people kind of forget that Jaylen Brown, before they made all the moves, was all NBA, right? Before they brought in Drew Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. And they've proven that they can both play at an all NBA level together. Mm-hmm. So I would expect it's only a good thing for him to kind of be put in this situation and be able to force to kind of, you know, read the defenses differently and see the game differently. I think it's going to be good for him.
So he's third on the team in assists behind Pritchard and White. He is averaging a career high in assists, 4.9 compared to 4.5 a year ago. Turnovers have gone up a lot too this year. But no, Jaylen is leading the team to where they're at. What did we say it is? 15-9?
Yeah.
I just backed out.
Yeah,
15-9. Does any of how they're playing, Turp, do you rewind to last year in the playoffs and go, well, this is annoying? Like, is that, like, they could have won that series against New York even without Tatum. Like, a lot of people said, well, they lost Tatum. What are they supposed to do? And they had already lost the series, I think, with Tatum. They were on their way to being down 3-1.
Right.
Do you rewind any of it and look back and go, oh, maybe they should have gone on more of a run than they did last year, given how they're playing all year, or at least recently, without Tatum?
Of course you do. You're looking back at that Knicks series, and you're like, man, everything about this series is so annoying. Like, they blew back-to-back 20-point leads at home. It doesn't get more annoying
than
that.
But I'm talking about even once they lost Tatum. Like, it was like, oh, the season's over because Tatum's gone. Well, it turns out, no, they can be pretty good without Tatum. They're doing it right now.
Well, also, Jaylen Brown, remember, he had the knee surgery, so Jaylen was not himself, and we were talking about that at the time last year. He was clearly not himself, and the injuries did catch up to them, where Kristaps Porzingis obviously was a shell of himself, and it comes out that he was dealing with POTS and was, you know, having trouble breathing on the floor, and like that was obviously the injuries just caught up to him. And I think it did offer a kind of a new appreciation for the 2023-24 season, because it's like, man, it really is so hard and so many things need to go right to win a championship, because the reality is, it's just, it wasn't their year last year. Jaylen Brown, like I said, was a shell of himself. Kristaps Porzingis as well. And those are the guys that you really needed to kind of carry you when Jason Tatum went down, especially, but even when he was healthy, like they needed them to be available and needed them to play well. And it really wasn't there, and that was because of, you know, things out of their control.
We know Jones loves the NBA Cup. When you're around the team, like in the locker room or around practice, is that something that's even, like, on their radar? Do you think that you get the sense the players care at all? Obviously, they want the money, but, like, is it even, like, anything that stands out to them?
I don't think so.
I think so
now people are starting to realize how much it jumbles the schedule.
They cared a couple of years ago when they were paying attention to the scoring differential and they like blew doors against whoever. They were. 2 years ago they cared.
When the opportunity's there, you're going to go for it. I think that's just the competitive spirit of it, but I don't think it's something you're really thinking of. Even this year, they were kind of running up the point differential at times. Like, when the opportunity's there, they're going to go for it. I don't think it's something they're coming back and they're like, oh, man, we're not going
with
to
the NBA Cup.
Like, we're not going to,
because I think they're trying to mirror it like soccer, right? They do a lot of like in-season tournaments and things like that, but I don't know, maybe over time it'll get to that, because there's sort of like, I guess, some prestige built into some of those. And I can't begin to tell you all the ins and outs of it, but over in Europe, like, they'll take a little break from their season, play these games. They kind of matter. There's like a history to it.
I wouldn't have watched Knicks and Raptors last night. I wouldn't have watched Magic and Heat. We'll see if I watch the West Coast games, but like, I wouldn't have watched them. And a lot of that is gambling related. They're standalone games and I'm like, I'll throw down a few bets and I'll watch. They didn't go well.
Did you get like an NBA Cup boost?
But like, yes, there were NBA Cup boosts last night. And so like, I like that aspect of it. I think a lot of the players are like, I don't really care about it until they're in it. And then the Celtics played like crazy in it 2 years ago to get the scoring differential.
But then they complained
about
it.
To advance to the quarterfinals.
Jalen Brown's like, that's not how you're supposed to play.
Yeah, and
I was like,
well, unethical.
I guess. Yeah, unethical. It's like, yes. Well, you did it.
Just don't tell me you weren't paying attention to it. One more here, Turp, before we let you go. It looks like Dice is attempting to start.
Oh, boy.
A Bozo parlay of misfits. So I'm assuming
Terp,
that would be
Terp, Dice, and Jackson.
Dice, Terp, Jackson.
Oh, I'm so in.
I'm not sure who else.
Oh, rival Bozo parlay yeah. The rest of the season?
I'm not sure who else you're going to have to recruit. Shime in a couple of weeks, maybe. But this is a rival Misfits Bozo touchdown parlay. You're in? Dice wants
yeah,
to
I'm definitely in.
That's good.
I tweeted it out.
Who
I'm
hits
like
first?
Honestly, I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous now there's a rival Bozo touchdown
I like
parlay.
It.
It's like the meme when like Squidward's looking out of the house and Patrick and SpongeBob are running around. That's me like
having
watching the Bozo touchdown parlay. I miss it. Like, how do I get my spot back? How long are we going to drag this out?
I think 2026.
You predict some proper touchdowns. Yeah, that's probably what you do. Okay. Well, good. I'm sure Dice will be encouraged to hear about that. Oh, Darren in Maine has a question for Terp, actually. Darren, go ahead.
Hey, no, I just have a question about how you can say the Celtics had injury issues at the end of the year, and that's why they didn't win when they were up 20 points in two consecutive games of blue leads.
I mentioned that.
Yeah, but after that, you said it wasn't their year. And so I think he's taking issue with you saying it wasn't their year and then they had blown multiple 20-point
leads. Well,
there
was more than that went wrong. Like I said before,
yeah. No, they should have won that series.
They should have won the series. Yes. You couldn't blow back, especially at home.
Yeah.
You can't blow back-to-back games when you led by 20 points. Like that's all true. But the injury portion can also be true. And when I mentioned the injuries, I was more talking about your question about making a deeper run. Whereas, like, yeah, they should have won that series. Absolutely. But, you know, they didn't play well enough.
No.
But when you're looking at making a deeper run, that's why I mentioned the injuries. Not for that particular series.
People last year, I'm not talking about U-turn, but people last year are like, Tatum's hurt. What could they possibly do? Well, number one, they were
it was over at that point, or before that.
Peeing away the series with Tatum.
Yeah.
And number two, I don't know, they look pretty good without him. Like, all of a sudden, I didn't think this was going to be the case, but all of a sudden, they look pretty good without him. So maybe, just maybe, they could, I don't know, actually beaten New York a year ago, whether it was with Tatum and played better when he was out there, or once they lost him, not laying down like they did at the end of the series last year. You can check out Terp's latest at WEEI.com. 20 numbers that tell the story of the Celtics past the quarter mark of the season. Go check that out. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Justin M. Turpin on Twitter. Terp, we appreciate it. Each and every Wednesday at high noon, we call it Pure Hoops. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Terp.
All right, good stuff from Terp. Stay tuned. Billy Lanny with all the latest here in trending. We'll get back to the Red Sox and Rob Bradford knocking us down a few pegs earlier today.